Can you believe that this is our 25th road trip? Wow.
And you know, I look forward to each and every one of them, and I'm always happy to do them. This is so much fun, especially doing them with you, Tony.
Well, likewise, my friend. And we're doing something special to celebrate our, what is 25, silver? Is that the silver anniversary?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. So for the silver anniversary for our show here, we're doing something special. We are going to be taking one road trip today and taking a look at rock and roll's original conspiracy. And I'm sure people who are listening right now can probably guess what it is, but are you ready to hit the road?
I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be. Yes.
And I've got a few surprises in store for you today as well, but let's go.
Just make sure the lights have changed before you go.
All right. That was a big spoiler, folks, but here we go. Maps?
Check.
Snacks?
Double check.
Tunes?
Check.
I'm Tony Stewart.
I'm Aaron Badgley.
And we are cruising the rock and roll highway in our Wayback Music Machine. Are you ready, my friend?
I sure am.
I have the feeling this is going to be the start of a great adventure.
Kind of a magical mystery tour.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that. So would you believe that for rock and roll's greatest conspiracy, it looks like it got its start in DeKalb, Illinois. Now, can you punch that in? I've actually got a surprise for you, though. I've got a special sound effect for you. So are you ready to punch
it? You do that. You do that.
Okay. I'm going to cue up the sound effect, and we're going to travel to DeKalb, Illinois on September 23rd, 1969. So here we are in DeKalb, Illinois in September 23rd, 1969. And isn't it nice that the podcast finally has a budget for sound effects?
Yeah, but now we can't afford coffee.
Okay, no more sound effects. We have to go back to you clicking your nails there.
Like Dolly.
So Aaron, why are we in DeKalb, Illinois on September 23rd, 1969?
Well, there's a newspaper there called the Northern Star, and they ran a story claiming, bizarrely, that Paul McCartney had been killed in a car crash in 1966 and had been replaced by a lookalike. Take your pick. William Campbell, Billy Shears, lots of people's names. This gets picked up by a DJ in Detroit in October of 1969, and it just blows up, Tony. I mean, blows up. And apparently, not only did the Beatles get a lookalike, but they planted clues so fans could actually know the truth.
Yeah, this is this really got some legs, this conspiracy theory. And so many people bought in and were looking for clues and wouldn't believe Paul McCartney when he said that he was alive and well. But we're going to talk about that today. So the whole episode, for our 25th episode here, we are going to take a deep dive into the Paul is Dead conspiracy and let you know all about it, because it still hangs around and it's super interesting.
Still alive and well.
Well, I thought for segment one here that we should, let's talk about exactly what the hoax is. So where do we start?
Well, let's start with, how about some truth first?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
So on December the 26th, 1965, it's a Sunday, Paul McCartney is driving a moped or a little scooter in Liverpool. He falls off it while he's driving. Maybe he's under the influence, you know, Christmas time. And he chips his tooth and he cuts his lip, both of which, by the way, you can see when, if you look at the video for Paperback Writer, his chipped tooth is extremely evident. And as far as Let It Be, you can still see the cut lip. He needed stitches. He really hurt his lip. He didn't die. But as early as 67, I didn't know this. This is interesting. As early as 67, there were these rumors that he had been killed in a car accident on the M1 motorway, but they had it listed as January 7th, which is not December 26, 65. Of course, it was all denied, and so it fades away until this fella in, what was the name of that town there, Tony?
Oh, DeKalb, Illinois.
Writes an article saying that Paul's dead, and they've, you know, they've replaced him with, by the way, a Canadian folks, William Campbell from Hamilton, Ontario. And the Beatles have all these clues. So maybe we should look at some of the clues.
Yeah, let's do that. And it's funny, you know, this reminds me a little bit of John's Jesus remarks, right? How at first, you know, he made the remarks innocently enough and nobody seemed to care, but then they heard them in the States and it just blew up. And this was the same, you know, the rumor started in 67, but it wasn't until 2 years later that it became a thing, and it became a thing in a huge way. Yeah, we should start taking a look at clues. Let's do that.
I have to say that Mad Magazine in 1970, and I'm not, hey everybody, I don't even have it in front of me. They did a takeoff on the Paul McCartney death thing, and my favorite was the little poem. George, Paul, Ringo, and John played a trick and put us on, dropped hints that Paul was dead as nails and rocketed up their record sales.
That's a nice little bit of prose there.
Thank you. Mad Magazine, ladies and gentlemen, Mad Magazine. Okay, let's move to the clues, yeah.
And there are, I mean, and here's the other weird part, folks, is that there are so many of them, and people, you know, we're just looking for things constantly. And somebody, well, you know what? I think we should start with the most famous ones, the from Revolution Number 9, right? In the intro, when you listen to that song and the recording engineer is just saying, number 9, number 9. Somebody figured out that when you play it backwards, you hear the famous phrase, turn me on, dead man. And so people right away picked up, oh, there's a clue that it's really true that Paul is dead.
Well, because in A Day in the Life, they sing, I'd love to turn you on, so turn me on, dead man. Yeah, have you ever listened to that backwards? It does sound like turn me on, dead man.
It does. Turn me on, dead man. Yeah, like.
Good. That was a good impersonation. And the other one on the White Album is I'm So Tired, which has the mumbling at the end, which if you play backwards says, Paul is dead, man. Miss him, miss him, miss him.
Yes. But you know,
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're right. Who figured out, let's put the record on backwards and take a listen. And you know, you wonder how many people destroyed their records trying to play them backwards as well.
And turntables.
And I'm sure the record industry didn't mind, right? Because if you wrecked your copy, you had to go out and buy another, right? So,
but you're right, Tony. There's been books written about this. In fact, there was a TV special at the time hosted by a respectable lawyer, F. Lee Bailey, about whether Paul was dead or not. And they looked at all the evidence, right? Which, is it evidence or is it just mania? I don't know.
Well, and but, it's true, you know. So interesting. And if you look at other songs, well, Strawberry Fields Forever. At the end, John supposedly says, I buried Paul. And have you heard that one?
Yeah, but you know what he actually says, right?
I think he said cranberry sauce, didn't he? Yeah. Which again, cranberry sauce, I buried Paul. I don't know. So it's a little bit of a stretch for me. But.
Well, I remember someone played it on the radio and they said, honest to God, I thought he was saying, I'm very bored. If you listen to it, you can hear I'm very bored as well, you know.
Yes, exactly.
But, Magical Mystery Tour is full of clues because if you look on the back, well, if you look at the TV show, but if you look on the back cover, all the Beatles are wearing red roses. Paul's is black. What's that?
Oh, well, we're going to have to do that in another segment here, aren't we? Is take a look at all the album covers.
So we'll keep to the music. Good point. I'm the Walrus has Stupid Bloody Tuesday, which is when he supposedly died. I Am the Walrus itself, you know, Walrus is supposedly a Greek symbol of death.
Now, and that's not true, right? I guess I was doing some reading about that it's actually from Scandinavia, but I guess back then there was no ability to fact check, really. So,
No, they didn't have Google. Well, and on the White Album, in the song Glass Onion, he says, here's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul. You know, I mean, the Beatles, I don't think, even in 68, I don't think they knew that this was going to happen. It's another line taken out of context. But and then, of course, there's the Abbey Road stuff, Tony.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, go on, because it's I think people will love it.
Come together. One and one and one is three. Three Beatles.
Yes, that's another stretch for sure.
You Never Give Me Your Money, which is about the car crash, supposedly. And Carry That Weight. Boy, you're going to carry that weight. Meaning the other three Beatles had to be Paul Bearers.
Yes, yes.
Do you get the joke? Paul, B-A-U-L.
And what was the, now there's another one that I, which song is it that you play it backwards and you hear the sound of the flames and the car crash? Do you know, is that
Revolution 9?
Yeah. So that was another clue, right? Where you could hear the flames and the car crash sound. And I mean, there were all kinds of these things and people were looking everywhere for them, but this was the whole start of that, playing your records backwards and looking for messages. And of course that became a big issue later on when, you know, parents groups and church groups started freaking out about lyrics and stuff in music, but it all started here.
Well, and full disclosure, Revolution 9 played frontwards scares me to this day. It's a very frightening sound collage, but play it backwards, you're never quite the same. I did it with a friend in radio and it terrifies you. You do hear the flames, you do hear a car crash. But is it, do you hear it or does your mind fill in the gaps, right?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, how would you deliberately do that with 1960s technology, right? Even what right. The Beatles were doing, but.
I mean, they were good, but they weren't that good. But I forgot the biggest clue of all, Tony.
What's that?
A Day in the Life.
Oh yeah, of course.
Right? He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. I mean, it was all there. I mean, it's clearly he died.
Well, that's right. It's very clear. Come on, folks.
Oh, man. It was crazy.
Insane.
Well, and your favorite song is even a clue, too. Got to Get You to My Life.
Oh, yeah. What's the clue in that?
I took a ride. I didn't know what I would find there.
Oh, well, my goodness. Yeah.
He found death.
So there you have it, folks. Part one here is the clues in songs. Now, what do you say we take a break and then we can start talking about maybe some of the clues in photographs, because you thought the clues in the songs were strange. Well, just wait, folks. Shall we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right, sounds good. We'll be right back. So now that we're at the 25 episode mark, we'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the Wayback Music Machine podcast. Aaron and I love recording this show every week, and we'd just like to remind you that beyond listening, there are other ways that you can support the show that don't cost you a thing.
Yeah, and we do appreciate you listening. We really do. And Tony and I hang out anyways, but this is a privilege to actually sit and talk with Tony with these microphones and do this for you. So Tony, how can people help?
Well, the easiest ways are to share a post of ours on social media or just post yourself about the show and let people know. And word of mouth in podcasting goes a long way. The other thing that you can do is really simple. On your favorite podcast playing service, just leave us a review. If you think we're worth the 5 stars, let us know, and that helps make us findable. But thank you for listening, folks. And now, let's get back to the show.
So, Tony, if you think that some of the song clues are kind of far out and interesting and maybe at a stretch, why do we talk about the album covers?
Yes, this gets even stranger, you know, because I was reflecting on this and people, you know, first of all, playing records backwards is one thing, but then starting to grab shiny objects like butter knives and holding them up to the album cover to look for reflections to find clues. I mean, this really did have legs, this conspiracy. And someone who's, you know, who never lived through it, I can't imagine, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, and some of them are just, so, I mean, let's start with Pepper. Pepper is full of clues. I mean, it's already a funeral procession or a memorial, because of course Beatles is spelled out in flowers, and it looks like a bass guitar. Not really, it just looks like a guitar. But on the doll, there's a car that's red in the inside, implying it's a car crash with fire, like we're going to hear on Revolution 9. Also, you got the wax mannequins looking down. On the back, Paul's back is to the camera, and the infamous OPP patch that people used to say was OPD,
right,
which stood for officially pronounced dead.
Yeah, and what a story that is, isn't it? Because they had just been sent an OPP badge by a fan, but people said, no, that's OPD, but then they corrected them and said, no, it's like an Ontario Provincial Police badge. But there's other clues too on Pepper, right? The fact that Paul, the oboe that he's holding, the black instrument, he's wearing the black flower, right? Symbol of death. The fact that his back is turned, of course. And I read somewhere that the only reason he turned his back was because his face was red when they went to do the photograph and he just turned around.
You know, if you look at photo shoots of anything, and you know this because you're a musician and you've done photo shoots, and there's 100 photos taken, and sometimes the group will go, that's an interesting... The funny thing about the picture on the back cover is Harrison's finger is pointing to a line in a song, Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, which is apparently the day after Stupid Bloody Tuesday. when Paul died, I don't know.
But you know, you look at all these clues and you think, you know, if they really had wanted to create something just being mischievous, right? I don't think they could have done it as well as it actually accidentally turned out to be.
You can't plan this.
No, and we could have done this entire episode around the clues on Pepper, to be totally honest. I mean, there's so many of them that people say are there. But the OPP badge, and then, of course, it came out, well, he's been replaced by someone from Ontario. That's the clue, that his body double is, you know, from Ontario. And then they start saying, well, here's another clue for you on the famous Abbey Road street crossing. Paul's holding the cigarette in his right hand, but he was left-handed. That's one of the clues there.
And he's barefoot, apparently how you bury people in England when they're dead.
That's right. And then they said John in the white suit represented the minister in a funeral procession. And Ringo was the undertaker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then there was Paul, who was the corpse. And then right behind him was George in his jeans and his blue shirt, who was the grave digger, of course, because he was dressed in workman's clothes.
Yeah. And on the back of Abbey Road, if you tilt the cover a certain way, there's three dots that form a skull.
That's you have to hold a butter knife or something to that too, don't you?
Yeah.
To see it? Like it's...
Yeah.
But it doesn't end there. There are other clues. The Volkswagen Beetle on the left side of the cover. The license plate says 28IF, doesn't it? And
yeah.
And that would have been Paul's age if he hadn't have passed away. So that's another clue. Can you think of any others off that album cover? I'm trying to...
On the back of the album cover, where it says Beatles Abbey Road, there's other dots that if you use your imagination, you can connect to the number 3.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's that. And although, did you know, Tony, that when the album came out, Paul would have been 27. I guess they got that one wrong. But.
And... it was just, there was also a phone number left somewhere, right? That people could call. I'm trying to.
That's on Magical Mystery Tour. The word Beatles is spelled out in stars. And if you flip it upside down and squint really hard, you have to squint, folks. The word Beatles upside down forms a phone number, which if you called, you would get a mysterious voice saying that Paul had died.
Yeah, isn't that something, eh? So somebody was up to no good there doing this, but the amount of effort involved in that is hilarious.
Well, I just and then there's the White Album, which has the poster with all these photographs. So there's apparently a picture of Paul McCartney, and you can see skeleton hands reach. It wasn't skeleton; it was smoke. But you know, and there's a picture of Paul in the bathtub, and he's surrounded by bubbles. But it looks like a he's being dragged underground. People really, really were invested in this, right? And of course, Let It Be, Tony, which is all in black, and Paul has the red background. No other Beatle has a red background behind him.
Oh yeah, amazing, eh? So,
and he has a beard too.
And again, right? I mean, you know, a lot of these are people really reaching, but it became an industry, a whole industry unto itself of looking for clues on Beatles albums and going back.
Well, they all charted again. All those albums went back on the charts.
Yeah, so I'm sure the Beatles didn't mind. You know, keep it going, folks. But
Paul didn't help. Did you read where the Life magazine, was the Time or Life, they go to the farm to say, are you okay? And he throws a bucket of water at them.
Yes, yeah. He was not very complimentary at all. I guess he had just got fed up. But he gave an interview afterwards, though, didn't he?
Yeah, because he threw a bucket of water. He didn't want the bad publicity of, here's a picture of Paul McCartney throwing a bucket of water at the cameraman.
And the whole Billy Shears thing, right? You know, from Pepper, where some people said Billy Shears was actually the guy who stood in for Paul. And they were clues to that, people said. They said that their heights were different. So if you actually looked at pictures, you could tell that it wasn't Paul because Billy Shears was taller, wasn't he, than Paul, according to the rumors?
If you watch the movie Plan 9 from Outer Space, Bela Lugosi died after a shooting 10, 15 minutes. And the director hired a stand-in who was actually 12 inches taller than Bela Lugosi. It's really noticeable. I don't think so with the Beatles.
No, I don't think so either. What was the other name of the, there was Billy Shears and there was another name too of the stand-in. I can't remember.
Bill Campbell.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now I'm telling you, Billy Shears or Bill Campbell or whoever he was one hell of a writer though, because he wrote some of Paul's best songs after Paul died.
Yeah. Let It Be. Hey Jude. But you know, we missed a clue and that is in, you know, after Sgt. Pepper, they go Billy Shears and that goes into With a Little Help. You can also look at that as Billy's Here.
Oh, see? That's right. Another clue.
Yeah. 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 I wonder if Linda knew.
Yeah, I wonder, eh? I wonder if she knew that Paul was gone or if the stand-in was such a dead ringer. There's a little pun for you.
Good one. Good one. I have magazines, Tony, from the 60s of the death clues. I even have a Batman comic book, believe it or not. And Robin and Batman are in a graveyard on the cover. And three Beatles are exiting. And Batman goes, we've got to get to the bottom of this, Robin.
Well, you know, Batman was the world's greatest detective. So who better to uncover the mystery, right?
Batman.
And you know what, Aaron, since you said Batman, I think it's time to take a break. What do you think?
Go to the Batcave? Sure.
All right. We'll be right back. So while this conspiracy theory was going on, you know, I'm sure Paul was a little bit frustrated that it kept lingering, but it's the aftermath, like we talked about at the beginning. You know, this thing really grew legs and stuck around. And even to this day, there's people who still look for clues and say, hey, I found a new one. And amazing, isn't it?
There's people who find clues on McCartney's albums from last year. Like, seriously, if you go on the internet. And Paul had fun with that, though. I remember telling you that he put a live album out in 93, and he called Paul is Live Very funny. And the cover, he took the original Abbey Road cover, and he had him walking his dog across the famous crossing walks.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But yeah, people still looking. And how many? I mean, you said you've got 4 books in your collection about this, don't you? I mean, there's countless books been written about this.
Oh yeah, and you know, as I said, there's a TV show. There's a lot of, but there are people who really believe this. I mean, there's people who believe the Earth is flat as well. But it blows my mind. You know, the only time I ever thought that maybe someone had replaced Paul was when he recorded with Kanye West. Other than that.
Well, that's right. There's maybe just a lack of judgment there, but.
and the solo Beatles had fun with it too. I remember there's Imagine by John Lennon. There's a song called How Do You Sleep? And one of the lines is, those freaks was right when they said you were dead. It's a bit of a mean song, but I mean, it goes on. What year is this? 2021? And they're still talking about it. So there you go.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I would love to sit down with Paul now and hear what he has to say about it because, you know, he must be sick of it, but it's also interesting that it did stick around for so long. And
it's also kind of macabre, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit twisted, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, hey, it's still with us. And I remember one person in it, this is saying, well, why didn't they fake Lennon or fake Harrison? I mean, it's just so stupid, you know, but here we are. We're talking about it in 2021 because it hasn't gone away, Tony.
No, that's right. But you know what? We should talk some charts here, I think. I wonder what was on the charts, you know, the 23rd of September, 1969. What was charting then? I have some guesses, but I'm curious.
Well, what's interesting is number 5 is Through the Past Darkly, Big Hits Volume 2 by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, there's another clue right there.
Yeah. Number 4. Yeah, I can't even come up with it. Number 4 is Blood, Sweat, and Tears, first album. Number 3 is Green River by CCR. Great album. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is Johnny Cash at San Quentin. And number 1 is Blind Faith by Blind Faith. But, you know, you have The Doors at number 7 and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young are in there and all sorts of good stuff, right?
Well, yeah, great time in rock
Dark
and
Shadows,
history.
The soundtrack was at 22. I didn't know there was a soundtrack, Tony.
No, I didn't know that either. Well, interesting.
Now I have to find it.
Well, my friend, I really liked, you know, taking a detour from the regular road trip and focusing on one event. And I think once in a while we should do this. If something comes up that's really important, you know, or is really worth taking a bit of a deeper dive into, I think, you know, maybe we can do this format more often.
I loved it. I had a great time. It was so much fun and just great to do the research. And just so you know, Tony, the playlist has all of the songs we've talked about.
Oh, well, there you go. So folks, what you need to do is when we release the episode in our show notes, we post a link to the Spotify playlist and we also post that on social media. So look for that, but it'll be a great playlist. Boy, I can't wait to hear that one. And Aaron, a pleasure as always. We've made it to 25 and here's to the next 25 and even more.
I'm so with you, Tony. I've loved every second of it. And you know, it's funny. I get excited.
Oh, me too. I couldn't wait.
These chats.
Yeah,
me too. Me
because too. We took a week off just to get ready for this episode. And I was itching to get back behind the microphone.
It felt weird not to do it, didn't it?
Oh, it absolutely did. But again, like we said in our promo earlier, we can't thank you enough for listening and supporting the show. And, tell a friend, folks, and keep spreading the word, and we will keep bringing you some Wayback Music Machine goodness every week into your headphones.
And feel free to drop us a line, too.
Oh, absolutely. We reply to every message and every post that we get. So,
yep.
Well, until next week, thanks for spending this half hour with us, and we will see you again soon. Music for today's episode of the Wayback Music Machine podcast was written by Rick Denis. The show notes, chart selection, and Spotify playlist were created by Aaron Badgley.
And the artwork, recording, editing, and sound production was done by Tony Stewart. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to tell a friend or two. And don't forget to click follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast player to get the latest episodes automatically.
And we'd love it if you would leave us a review. You can also engage with the show by going on our website and leaving us a voicemail. We may even play your voicemail on an upcoming episode.
Thanks for taking this road trip with us, and we'll see you next time on the Wayback Music Machine Podcast.
Hey, turn the radio up. I love this song. The Wayback Music Machine Podcast is a Stewie Tunes production.